Have you ever read a passage of Scripture, and even though you'd been there before over and over again over the years, you saw it in a different light than you'd seen it before, and you saw something in the passage you hadn't seen before, especially as it might relate to something else in Scripture? And I've said too much already. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read just one verse here. Verse 24. Or rather, two verses, 23 and 24. Matthew 5, 23 and verse 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift, therefore, before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. It seems a pretty straightforward statement. But now turn over to the book of Matthew, same book, and we find ourselves now at chapter 18. And we begin at verse number 15. Moreover, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. And we're not so concerned at the moment for the last of that latter reading, but the first part as it juxtaposes against the earlier reading. And as I've said, I've read these all these years, and I've studied both of them in the context of both places. And this is not something I've just come to see, but I remember it's one of those things when you see it the first time, you think, how did I miss it? How did I miss it? And I'll frame the understanding with a question. If you and your brother or sister have a problem between you, whose responsibility is it to address the problem and do the best to correct it? Now, from the first passage, Jesus says, if your brother has something against you, if that's the case, you're there to offer your gift before the altar. And of course, this is under the auspices of the Old Testament law. And oftentimes, as they came into a place of worship, they would bring a sacrifice or an offering or a gift of some kind as a token of their service and worship before the Father. Before you do anything, though, if you remember that your brother has aught against you, he has something against you, you leave your gift right there. You don't go forward with your worship. Instead, first you go to your brother and you work things out. You seek to be reconciled to your brother. But in Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, and so in this case, you've got something against him, what do you do? Well, if you don't have the rest of the passage here and you just use all that you have given to you from Matthew chapter 5, you say, well, if he's done something against me, I'm going to wait for him to come make it right. But no, this says go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Don't make a big thing of it all of a sudden and spread it to everybody, but you go to him. But the point is, in answer to the question, whose responsibility is it? It's yours regardless. If there's some other way to see this, I'd like to know it. And yes, you can get into the nuances of language and custom and culture and all of that, and you're still going to wind up at the same place you started, with the fact that whether someone has a problem with you and you know it, or you have a problem with somebody and you know it, the fact that you know it puts the burden of responsibility on you. I mention this because it's a fascinating couple of passages put back to back, but also in light of where we are in the year's schedule and the calendar. This is the time of year for a lot of things. If I say it's the time of year for, fill in the blank, you could have 100 different things to put there, half of them positive and half of them maybe negative. But it's the time of year for it, whatever it is. But one thing it's the time of year, it seems, for is a time to be around family, maybe some family you haven't seen for a while, or friends that you haven't thought about for a while, or old acquaintances that you haven't been around in some time. And because of these relationships, new, old, or otherwise, that come to the surface, they bring with them their own baggage of memory and sometimes resentment and difficulty. Those are just the facts on the ground as they are. Now, what we do next is what matters. And what Jesus is pointing out here is that if there is an ongoing, long-standing, not corrected but correctable problem between you and anybody else, make very sure that you haven't done what you should do to make it right. Now, that's a lot of words to say exactly what Paul says later in Romans 12. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, be at peace with all men. Well, we sometimes add to that the caveat, well, sometimes it's not possible. And you're right, sometimes it's not possible. As much as lies in you, as much as it depends upon you, well, some things are outside my control. We agree to that as well. All of us do. But that does not negate the rule in front of us. What Paul is saying in Romans 12 is the exact same Christ is saying here in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 18, and that is the burden of responsibility for making a bad thing right, making a wrong situation better, making a broken relationship whole again. It begins with us. Regardless of whether we are the offended party or the offending party. And sometimes we hide behind both, giving ourselves some leeway of lack of accountability. In other words, you've done something to me that really has, I can't let it go. And by the way, one thing said in none of these passages that should go without saying, and I think that's why it's not said, there are matters so slight that from anybody else's perspective, they'd say you just need to let that go and move on. If I have a perceived slight that I've received from you, and I realize you probably didn't mean it, I don't need to go to you. I can just let it go, let it slide. But outside those areas when I am able to do that, I say, well, I've done something that has offended you. You ought to get over it. Or you've done something that offends me. You should know what you've done. And in either case, I'm putting the burden off myself and upon the other person, which is a wonderful way. Now, stay with me. It's a wonderful way to stay miserable. I mean, if that's your intention, if that's your desire, if that's what you want above everything else, is to be miserable, well, then just to make very sure you do nothing to salvage a bad situation yourself. And you can always play those games in your mind and with others who will listen to you to give yourself a way out. Again, I've done something to you. And I say to myself, well, you should just get over it. No need to talk to you about it because that's your problem. If you've got a problem with what I did or what I said that made you upset, that's your problem. Well, no, Jesus says that's my problem. And if you've done something to me to hurt my feelings or to make me upset in some way, Jesus goes as far as to talk about sinning against me. the last thing I do is I say in my mind, well, they should know what they've done. And maybe I can act in a certain way around them. Maybe I can just stop talking to them and they'll get the idea. Maybe if I just kind of go by them and kind of look the other way as I'm walking past, they'll get the idea. It'll finally come to them what they've done against me, and they'll make it all right, which is the opposite of what Jesus teaches. Again, if you've missed the point tonight, please get it finally, because I'm just catching up myself. Regardless of what situation I'm in, with a breach in the relationship with someone else, the first thing that needs to be done by me, regardless what side I'm on. The offended or the offender. Now, I'll just say the last step is not mine. I can, as best I can, make the best of the situation I'm able to do. But you still have the final say. I can't make you like me. And I can't make you forgive me. And I can't force you to love me. But I can do everything I can do from my side of it to make sure when all is said and done and the dust is cleared, that the situation, if it continues in a wrong fashion, going in the wrong direction, is not because of my lack of doing my part to make it right. And I started this by saying I ran across this almost accidentally. I remember I had taught for years from Matthew chapter 5, and as we're going through that, and then I taught for years in Matthew 18 when we come to that passage, and we taught that. And I never considered, and you probably were way ahead of me here, but I had never considered before that these two were saying the exact opposite things on purpose to bring about this idea that, yes, in this respect of mending a broken relationship, it is not about me, but it depends upon me making that first step. Now, the wonderful news is, if you have two people who have this mindset, regardless of what's happened, you're both struggling to get to each other to make it right. But I'll just tell you, in most cases, both people aren't on the same page there. And if you're not thinking as Christ teaches here, both parties are doing their best not to do what needs to be done to make it right. And so again, it comes down to you and to me and our doing our part in this. Now turn to number 719, because as simplistic as this song seems, it does go a long way in making some bad situations better. Because you've noticed that a lot of these relationship problems, they're not so much what somebody does. It's what somebody says, or what they don't say, or what they said that they didn't mean, or what they said and they meant but you didn't like, or what you said but you didn't mean but they thought you did, and what was done in response or reaction to it. I remember years ago one of my distant family members, I won't tell you who it was, got married, and after he'd been married for about 5 or 10 years, he said, "It's funny, every time we go to a dinner with the other side of the family," he says, "not sometimes, not most times, but every time so far, every time, it's ended up in a fist fight. Every single time." Well, that is not what this song suggests. And let's all try to live up to the words we're about to sing together. 719. Angry words, oh, let them never from my tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them and soil the lip. Love one another close your book. Notice the first couple of lines of the third verse. Let our words be sweetly spoken. Let kind thoughts be greatly stirred. And we've talked about this before in the past, but there's a connection in those two. You have words that aren't so sweetly spoken. They come from a heart that's not as kind as it ought to be. And you have a kind heart that's going to express itself in words sweetly spoken. The words reflect the contents of the heart. And if you have a problem with somebody, or you know they have a problem with you, the first step to make, before you even go to them, this goes before what Christ is teaching here. What's the reason you go to them? Because you have a heart of love for them. The first thing to do is to examine yourself and your own heart in this situation. That'll help you know, did I add fuel to this fire? Did I perhaps start this fire? Or can I in some way put the fire out with my kindness? And Jesus uses words like that in the teachings he has in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then later on, Paul has language much like that. You remember the end of chapter 12 when he talks about with our repaying evil, not with evil, but with good. We put the spark out, or we create a wonderful burning of way of the anger and anxiety and the relationship problems with the decision we make to repay good for evil. Now, in all of this, we're doing our best not just to live by Jesus' words, but to live up to Jesus' example. If there's ever a perfect epitome of everything we've talked about this evening, it's the person of Jesus. What's ironic is the fact that so many were divided, but not because of Jesus as a person, because of what Jesus represented, and because his teaching sometimes set people at variance with one another and with himself. The truth does that. But he always spoke the truth in such love. He always had such a winsome and winning personality that the common people, Mark says, heard him gladly. Those who went to arresting came back saying, never man spake as this man. Here was a man at Lazarus's tomb who wept, and those around said how much he loved him. You see in Jesus the epitome of what it means to be a friend, to be somebody that loves, to be kind, and someone that shows love. In all we do and say, we want to not just live up to his words. We want to do our best to live up to his example, that Christ can be seen in us. Just a few numbers from here. We turn to 7:22. And we're purposely keeping this just a little shorter than usual tonight as my gift to you for the holidays. But as we go into the next couple of weeks, and then maybe we could carry this on into the next year, can you think of a better goal or resolution any of us could have than that expressed by the words, the title of this song? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you and in me. We want the community to see that in us. We want our families to see that in us. We want our friends and acquaintances to see that in us. We want brethren here to see that in us. We want the light of Christ to shine forth in our lives. Let's sing together 722. Let the for the next couple of weeks and forevermore. Because in a sense, in a real, genuine sense, that's what being a Christian's all about. That Christ might live through our lives, through our actions, through our words, through us. And as we've said already, that means if you have a problem with somebody, go to them. And if they have a problem with you, go to them. And perhaps the best thing you can do for yourself this holiday season is to do the hard part, to do the hard thing, and talk to that person that you've had a long-standing problem with. And like I say, you can't make decisions for them, but you can do everything you can do from your side to make things right. Before we close, one last thought, having nothing to do with this. Next Lord's Day, if you are here in this place at this time, you are in the wrong place. Next Sunday evening will be the last Sunday, can you believe it, in 2025. Somebody was saying a few days ago, how do we get to 2026? And I have yet to understand how we got to the 21st century. I'm still stuck in 1999. But here we are at 2026, and next Sunday evening we'll be over at the Crosstown Church of Christ for a big singing over there. Crosstown and Broken Arrow and ourselves. We'll have some wonderful singing, and so please plan to be there if you can at all and support that work and represent the Midtown Church of Christ, as I know that you will. If you're with us tonight, not a Christian, please change that. If you've left the Lord, come back to Him. But if you need to come, come now. Together we stand and sing.